I want to invite you to turn in the scripture with me this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. And I want to read about a mom, a very well-known and important mom. Her name was Sarah. And Genesis 17, verse 1, I'm going to skip around a little bit and read a couple passages, but beginning in chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will confirm my covenant between me and you and greatly increase your numbers.'" And then skipping to verse 15, God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her, and I will surely give her a son, give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." And Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And then to chapter 18, verse 1, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. And Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of the tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, 'If I found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way, now that you've come to your servant.' 'Very well,' they answered, 'do as you say.' So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. 'Quick,' he said, 'get 3 seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread.' And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. 'Where is your wife Sarah?' they asked him. 'There, in the tent,' he said. Then the Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son.' Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, 'After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?' And then the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, "Will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son.' And Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, 'I didn't laugh.' But he said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" And then one more over in chapter 21, verse 1. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" Adam was walking around in the Garden of Eden feeling very lonely. So God asked him, "What's wrong with you?" And Adam said he didn't have anyone to talk to. And God said he was going to make Adam a companion and that it would be a woman. And he said, "This person will gather food for you and cook for you, and when you discover clothing, she'll wash it for you. She'll always agree with every decision you make, and she'll bear you children, and she'll never ask you to get up in the middle of the night to take care of them, and she will not nag you and will always be the first to admit that she was wrong when you had a disagreement. She'll never have a headache, and she'll freely give you love and passion whenever you need it. And Adam said to God, "What would a woman like this cost?" And God said, "An arm and a leg." And Adam said, "Well, what can I get for a rib?" And the rest is history. Well, it's good to hear you laughing, because that's what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about a mom named Sarah who laughed. And it is great to laugh. And we realize, unfortunately, sometimes when it's not socially appropriate, that laughter is really a reflex. Even when you don't want to laugh, sometimes you find yourself laughing, whether it's appropriate or not appropriate. At least I have that problem very often. But you realize sometimes the laughter is a good thing, because it's entering into the joy of the experience and helping other people. But also sometimes laughter is not a good thing. And it's interesting, as we've read these passages of Scripture, you see three different laughters between Abraham and Sarah. And actually, the first laughter that we saw back in chapter 17, perhaps we could call that a laughter of doubt. Now remember, these people had been called in chapter 12 about 25 years before what we read in chapter 17. That is, Abraham was about 75 years old. And God gave three fantastic promises. You would have a son, and that son would become a nation that would inherit a land, and that those people in that nation would be a blessing to the whole earth. In fact, even as we think about Kazakhstan and Thailand this morning, we realize that that blessing of Abraham, given almost 4,000 years ago, is being fulfilled even today in all the earth. But it didn't happen right away. And in fact, a long time passed, and already he was 75 years old, and his wife was barren. And his name Abram, which was his given name, meant exalted father. And can't you imagine, as they moved in faith from Ur of the Chaldeans all the way down into Canaan, meeting perhaps hundreds of people, like walking somewhere on the trails of Thailand, and every time you meet somebody, they stop and greet you, and they say, "What's your name?" "Oh, my name's Abram." And they say, "Oh, wow, an exalted father. Just how many children do you have?" And he has to hang his head in shame and say, "Well, I really don't have any children." "Oh, yeah, exalted father." And they just go on the trail. And can't you just imagine how encouraging that must be? And then when finally they just have one child, God says, "Abram, I've got a new name for you. You will be called Abraham," which means father of a multitude. And wouldn't it have been great walking down the trail then and realizing that now you had to be a crazy old man with one child and now the father of a multitude? And so they'd been waiting a long time. And so that in chapter 17, as Abraham falls face down in verse 17 and laughs to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? I think that is something you might say like a laughter of doubt. "I just can hardly believe it. Do you really think it's going to happen? We've been waiting so long. We've been hoping so hard. We've been putting our anticipation in this great event, but is it really going to happen?" Have you ever laughed that loud? Have you ever wanted something to really happen and realized it was a long way away? And Abraham falls down, as we read in 17:17, on his face before God. But you know, God wasn't only looking at his posture, God was also looking into his heart. It isn't just a matter of doing the right routine as we gather in his name this morning, but it's really a matter of having our heart being true and pure in his presence. Some people come to God, Isaiah said, with their mouth and honor him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And so it's not just a matter of ritual or reality, but it's a matter of the real faith of coming before God in trust that he's going to keep his word. One pastor was ministering to a church in a farm community that was going through a drought. And on that Sunday, in the midst of the drought, they had a special prayer for rain. And that afternoon, he and his daughter decided to go for a walk, and the daughter said, "Father, should we bring the umbrella?" And he said, "What for?" You see, there is sometimes an action of our religion, but in reality, do we really think it's going to happen? Are we going through sometimes empty motives as we're seeking for God? And what really are our motives as we draw near to God? Well, you realize in chapter 16, Sarah thought she could make a better plan. Because in that culture, if a woman was a wealthy woman with a lot of influence, she had servant girls, and if the servant girl would have a child, that child would in reality legally be the heir of the woman and of her rightful husband. So to give Hagar to her husband Abraham was really a very normal, natural, legal way of doing things. But in the eyes of God, it wasn't right. What can seem right to man is often very wrong to God. And sometimes, the Bible said, even leads to death. And even after that wrong way of doing God's work, God still says, Lord, chapter 17, verse 18, won't you bless Ishmael? And of course, in his mercy, God did bless Ishmael. Because really, he was an innocent victim in the middle of those shenanigans. But sometimes our prayer is like that, isn't it? Lord, won't you bless my mess? Lord, won't you bless the trouble I've gotten myself into and somehow work your way through it, even though I shouldn't have done it in the first place? But thankfully, even in the midst of that laughter of denial, there is a promise from God that Sarah will be the mother, chapter 17, verse 16, of nations, and kings of peoples will come from her. This woman is going to be a princess, and God has promised. And then in chapter 18, we find an amazing lunchtime meal. And I've often looked at this passage because it's so interesting. In chapter 18, verse 1, it says, the Lord appeared to Abraham. And in verse 2, Abraham looked up and saw three men. If there was an Old Testament foreshadowing of the Trinity, I think this is about as close as it will ever get. And throughout this exchange, there's the three men, and there's the Lord, and it seems to go back and forth all through it. But even in the midst of this awesome visitation from an almighty God, there is a laughter here that was ultimately unbelief. It was a laughter of denial. Sarah, chapter 18, verse 15, was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. And God said, yes, you did laugh. Mark Twain has said, a lie can race all around the world while the truth is still lacing on its boots. And you know, that really happens, doesn't it? What's the big deal here? Why was it so significant that she laughed? Well, it was a laughter of unbelief. It was a laughter of really in her heart saying, God, I know you have said you're going to do this awesome thing and giving me a child, but, you know, I just don't believe it. It's really a laughter of throwing it back in the face of God and saying, no matter what you say, it's just not going to happen. And so that unbelief is a terrible sin. It's really a slap in the face of a holy God. And so that laughter was spreading sin even as she laughed. And yet, God is merciful even in that situation. God comes back to her and said, yes, you did laugh. And sometimes that's a picture of God that we're not very familiar with or even very happy to look at. Why should God get in her face like that? Why didn't God just give her some space? Why did God have to press on her and say, yes, you did laugh? Because God wanted her to turn away from that sin. God realized that all that baggage of all that denial and all that doubt and all that unbelief in the face of a holy God wasn't going to get her anywhere. The wages of sin is death. And God has come in grace that we might turn away from that sin and be made right with him. And so it's not just a matter that God can't take a joke, but God realizes that sin is no joke, and he wants her to repent of it and turn away from it. But the interesting thing as God even rebukes her for her doubt, he still promises her with great love in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." What an awesome thing. Realize, isn't it, that our faith is not built on what we can do, how good we are, how faithful we've been. Way back in chapter 15, it is said, Abraham believed God, and God credited to him as righteousness. That's the foundation, isn't it? It's not a matter of laughing right or doing right or being right. It's not anything about us, but it's everything about him and his grace. And he can say to Sarah, "Is there anything too hard for me?" You know, Mother's Day is a special day, but it's also for many people a painful day. Because thinking of mothers means thinking of hurt relationships for some, or thinking of children who've gone astray, or thinking of families that have broken apart. And so Mother's Day can be a day in which we really feel deep pain, even in our relationship with family and with God. But can we believe God even for our families? Are we laughing? That laughter of denial, that laughter of doubt, that, oh God, you couldn't save my mother if you tried, kind of laughter. My son will never come back to you. Is that what you thought? Well, that's like Sarah in this wrong situation. We need to realize that there is nothing, absolutely nothing too hard for God. He is able, more than able, to accomplish what he's promised for all of us. And so in our salvation and in our family, we need to realize that it all comes from him. What about your future? Do you really believe that in your future there's nothing impossible for God? Some of you may still be in school and you're thinking, am I ever going to get out? It's impossible that I could graduate. And some of you who may have graduated think, oh, I'm never going to get a job. How am I ever going to get a decent job? Or you're going to think, how can I ever reach retirement? I'm working and I'm never going to get to retirement. One doubtful situation after another. But nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible for God. We need to give it all to him. We need to even give to God the day of our death. You're thinking about it, aren't you? You are if you're a human being. But do you believe that he's in control even of that day? And in Christ, he'll take you to be with himself. And you'll be with him forever. Well, thankfully, there are two not-so-good laughters in this passage, but there's one wonderful laughter. As I've read from chapter 21, there is a laughter of delight because God, in his mercy, visited this old couple, not because they were good, not because they were worthy, not because they're such pillars of faith, but because he's a God of grace. And in mercy, he visited them and blessed them with a child. Can you imagine, grandparents, what it must be like to have a little baby? Is it really a blessing? I've wondered sometimes as I've read that. But one good thing is that not only did God give them the child, but God gave Abraham hundreds of servants, so it seemed to at least make things, I'm sure, a little bit easier. But there was a joy here because this was more than just a baby. This was the fulfillment of God's promise. This was the great, 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 great grandfather of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one in whom the promise of God would be fulfilled, that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. What a baby. What a promise. What a blessing. And rightfully, what a laughter. What a joyful, uncontrollable, joyful experience of laughter. And in fact, you realize, I'm sure, that that name Isaac means laughter. What a great name. Not the laughter of denial, not the laughter of doubt, but the laughter of delight. That God is faithful to keep his promises. And they were so good to name him that. And that is what God is calling us to enter into. Remember, hundreds of years later, as the Israelite exiles came back from captivity, the psalmist says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among them, among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And it is in this laughter of delight, that Sarah is commended in Scripture. You know, there is nowhere in the Bible that tells women to imitate the Virgin Mary. But there are two places in the Bible where women are told to imitate Sarah. She is really our example of faith. Both in Isaiah and in 1 Peter, women are told to look to Sarah as your mother, as the example of righteousness and godliness. Why? Well, she was a faithful woman, even despite laughing sometimes the wrong way, like we all do. But for more than 60 years of life with this wandering husband named Abram, she was faithful, and she was obedient, and God blessed her. And you know, the interesting thing in 1 Peter, where he commends Sarah, he said, Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master, you are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. You know, the only time in Scripture in the Old Testament where Sarah called Abraham master was in chapter 18 at that point of disobedience. In verse 12 of chapter 18, Sarah laughed and said to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? But isn't God gracious that he takes note of her obedience even in the midst of her laughter? God graciously saw, even in her difficult situation, her faithfulness and his blessing. And so this morning, it's a great day to remember our mothers. It's a great day to remember what God has done through his promise of sending a son, not just Isaac, but the fulfillment of the promise, even as Paul said, the seed that he's talking about here is Jesus himself, the one who in him will bring blessing to all the nations. And so may God give us grace to trust in the God of Sarah, in the God of Abraham, in the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, even the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we this day laugh with him, not in doubt, not in denial, but in delight, that he's a God who is faithful, he's a God who's kept his promises, and he's a God who's committed himself to us forever and ever. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for your teaching in Scripture this morning. We thank you that you show us the way to live in your sight. We thank you most of all that you are the one who promised and even kept your promise in the sending of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that Abraham is the father of our faith and Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of our faith, as he's come to give himself as our Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray that your blessing will come to the nations today as we realize that the promise of Abraham is for the whole world. We would pray your blessing in distant lands like Kazakhstan and Thailand and even to the remotest parts of the earth, and that you'll bless your people here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.